This morning we're blessed to have Shane and Katie Lehman with us. We first came into contact with Shane and Katie through the Armada Network. In the beginning, when we first heard about them, they were actually missionaries to Russia. They had just moved to Moscow. So how long has that been? Is it 5 or 6 years? It's been longer than that. 10, 11. That sounds better. So 10 or 11 years ago is when we first heard about them. And then when we got to meet them, it was in the Armada Landmark, and fell in love with them right away and just felt a real connection with them. And then I happened to have Shane in class for the Armada Commission. And I found out that one of the reasons that we have such a good connection is because we both have the same mind, the same heart, and the same motivation. When you teach on administration and somebody actually pays attention, you notice. Shane didn't just pay attention, he was excited. In between every break, he would come up and he would just pick me clean for all the information that he could get. And I thought, I love this guy. So when the Lord said, invite Shane to come and preach, I thought, yes. Now I get to find out what it's like to hear me preach. So we want to invite them to come and to share. And I'm going to tell because you told us last night. They have two boys who are at home. And they told us last night that they could only bring one of their children, which was a nice way of telling us they're expecting. So... come on, Shane. It's good to have you here. God bless you, man.
I think I got it on right. There we go. Good morning. Yes, it's a pleasure to be here. I got a chance to meet a few of you before the service started. And my wife and I, we are from York, Pennsylvania. I'm from a little town of Dillsburg. Anybody heard of Dillsburg? Wow, I'm surprised. It's a small little town. But who would have thought, it is too much to tell, quite a journey. I know I have been on since the days there in Dillsburg in high school, to Messiah College, to meeting my wife, to moving overseas to Russia for 6 years, to then being back here and working with various ministries here in the States. And I'm sure some of that will come out throughout the message today. But we had spent 6 years living overseas in Russia, working with Dale Armstrong, with Armada, and that ministry, as well as with Hinkson Christian Academy. We are both teachers by heart. We worked in the school there. Hinkson Christian Academy, right in the heart of Moscow, for five of those years. And never underestimate the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. I remember going to that school. I was just going along for the ride with my wife for her interview with the school there. And after he interviewed her, the guy turned to me and said, "So what do you do?" I'm thinking, why does it matter? And so I went home and prayed about it, and the Lord said, "Well, this is an opportunity for you too. It's a door I'm opening for you," were his exact words. Oh, okay. And that was just the beginning of such a phenomenal growth in my life. Never underestimate the doors the Lord will open for you. Don't put him in a box. As much as we think we don't, we do at times. And it's okay. He will gently nudge us and remind us and convict us and prompt us. So I am excited to be able to be here with you and share a word that's been stirring in my heart for 6 months to a year now, not knowing where I would share it, and it gets to be you. So I hope that it is of some benefit to you, not what I would say, but what the Lord has been stirring in my heart for you. So open your Bibles to Matthew 16. This is going to be our primary text. Give you a little bit of background. It's in the beginning of this chapter when Jesus begins to ask his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he asks them after they respond, "Who do you say that I am?" And is the famous passage where Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then a few verses later it says, "From that time forward, he began to share with them the things that he must go to Jerusalem, to suffer many things, to die." It's not where it ends, though. "And rise again." Now, the same guy, this Peter guy, who kept putting his foot in his mouth, the same guy who just confessed that this Jesus is the Christ that the Old Testament prophets and passages were speaking of, this is that person, the Christ, he takes this Christ aside and begins to rebuke him. Now, pause for a minute and think, how could a man be so arrogant to pull the Christ aside and begin to rebuke and correct him? You know, I first read that and I thought to myself, you know, what was he thinking? But then the Lord said, how often do we in our lives feel like we have to pull the Holy Spirit aside and say, you know, I'm not really sure that that's for me? You know, when he prompts you to give to somebody or to stop and speak to somebody in a grocery store or wherever you are, I'm not sure I'm the right person for that. You kind of pull the Holy Spirit aside and say, well, you know, I'm not sure. You're rebuking the Holy Spirit, trying to bring correction as though his prompting is ever wrong. And it's not. And so you can't look at Peter and think he's way out in left field, because we often find ourselves at times maybe refusing to respond or questioning the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so he goes on down here. Jesus is not surprised by any of this. He's well aware. He loves Peter. Peter loves Jesus. And what we're going to focus on then is what I call the steps for Jesus bringing a course correction in Peter's life. Now look here in Matthew 16, verse 23. We'll start in verse 23 and read through 27. And this is where Jesus is then responding to Peter after Peter rebuked him. He says, "But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return or exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come, and with his angels, in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done.'" This is the month of January, and oftentimes the beginning of a new year. People create New Year's resolutions. People begin to think and reflect upon the past year and begin to make goals and dreams for maybe the next year or the years or what's ahead. And we really need to ask ourselves, you know, what goals and dreams do we have? Or more importantly, whose goals and dreams do we have? Who is deciding what those dreams and goals are? You know, I was talking with somebody at one point about some things in Scripture, and I could tell this person was very sincere in what they believed. But you know, people can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You know, being sincere doesn't make something or someone right. You know, we need to be mindful that we speak the truth in love. But I believe Peter was very sincere in his care and love and wanting to protect Jesus, which I believe that's what motivated him to bring the correction. Far be it that this should happen to you. He couldn't bear the thought of anything negative, painful, suffering happening to the Christ. He wanted to do all he could to let Jesus know, "I am not going to let that happen to you." I'll bet he was a bit surprised with Jesus' response. "Get behind me, Satan." I mean, imagine being in Peter's shoes and hearing Jesus say that. You can think, wait a minute, how am I wrong here? I'm just letting him know I want to protect him and watch over him and care for him. I don't want negative things to happen. But Peter missed something. See, when Jesus said to them, that passage that says, he began to reveal to them the things he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and die. He didn't stop there. He said, and rise again. Yes, Peter had the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, but he still lacked the understanding of what the Christ came to do and how he was to accomplish that plan of the redemption for us. He had to die. I'll never forget when we were preparing to leave and move to Russia. We began to tell people, my job, my employer, family, friends, and got a variety of different responses from people. Most were encouraging. Many were kind of confused, especially if they weren't a Christian. Why in the world would you leave America and move to Russia? There's a disconnect. They couldn't understand it. And there were some who, in their best of intentions, were trying to really cause us, is this really the will of God for you? Isn't it better for you and your wife and your family, and you want to have children, just to stay here in the States? And though their intentions were right, you know, good intentions can really be a bad idea sometimes. And we should never look at a person so much simply to see what we benefit from them in the various relationships. We need to be able to see what is the will of God for that person's life and do everything we can to support it, even if it means it might cause us some hurt or pain in missing a relationship and not being able to be with them, whatever it would be. Our greatest desire needs to be for every single person the fulfillment of God's will for their life. I will never forget, I can't remember which year it was we were in Russia. It was a winter day, and I think we were heading to church, and we are leaving our apartment building, heading down to the main road, and it's a little bit of a hill down to the main road, and there's footpaths everywhere. Everyone likes shortcuts, shortest way to get to places, and on the bottom of this footpath, which is through the snow, a bit icy, there's this older lady. We call them babushkas, which means grandmother in Russian. This older babushka, and she's just kind of sliding her feet rather slowly. And so my wife says to me, you need to go help her. I'm like, absolutely, go and help this lady. So I take one step out onto the path. Whoosh. I up in the air, came down on all fours, and I'm frantically trying to stop myself. I'm sliding down this footpath right towards this old lady. She has no clue that I'm there, and trying, digging in my nails through my gloves into the snow and ice to stop. And I stop right when I come up beside, this is her, right up beside her, I stop. And I look up, and she looks down at me, and keeps walking away. She has no clue what I was trying to do or what almost happened to her. And I love to, we call that my bowling for babushkas story. And it is always a reminder to me how good intentions can really be a bad idea sometimes. You know, before you run out and just do something, stop and consider what would wisdom say in this situation. And so just wanting to hit the point home where obedience, truth, is always the safest route to take. I try to take that slippery route, and you know, good intentions can sometimes be a very slippery road and get us in a lot of trouble. And, you know, sometimes even our good intentions can take us off course. You know, God says in His Word, He has a specific plan and purpose for every single person's life. But, you know, sometimes we get off course, don't we? We make a wrong decision, we screw up, whatever it would be, even our good intentions can take us off course. And I believe what Jesus lays out here in his response to Peter and to his disciples kind of really lays the groundwork for how he was bringing that course correction back to Peter's life, even in the minds of his disciples. Because as he responded to Peter there, he said, you don't have the mind of God, but the mind of the things of this world. Because Peter, looking at Jesus, and valued his relationship with him more than valuing him fulfilling the will of God, which might mean a separation in a relationship from God, from him. And so he is bringing what I call a course correction to his life. Look here in that same passage where he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's three parts there. But before we get into those three parts, we have to just notice where it says if. You know, when there's a word if in Scripture, it usually means there's a qualifying factor that they're trying to bring across before something will happen. Did you know God's love is unconditional, but all of His blessings are conditional? His love is unconditional, but His blessings are all conditional. If. So here He says, if anyone would come after me. A prerequisite for these things. Somebody, first of all, if anyone will, you have to have the will or desire, first of all, to even follow Jesus before you even care about these things He's about to share. I believe all of you who are here have that will, have a desire, and even have the question, what is God's will for my life? And it doesn't matter how old or young you are. God has a plan for every day of your life to the very end. And so He says here, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Reworded, I'm going to say it this way. Deny yourself means laying down your will, laying down the course that you've set forth for your life, laying down your goals and dreams that you have for your life. And when He says, take up your cross, now remember, He just told His disciples things He must go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again. So the cross is not, in this context, He's not trying to say, you're going to have to suffer too. What He's saying is the cross was the will of God for Jesus. Whatever the will of God is for your life, that's what you have to take up. Taking up your cross doesn't mean having to take up and look for opportunities to suffer. No, but I'm sure on the path of the will of God, the course He will have for your life, there may be times of discomfort or suffering or frustrations or hardships. It's inevitable. But He says those three steps, deny yourself, lay down your will. Take up your cross, take up God's will, and follow me. Now I have a question. Where was Jesus going? Following Him where? See, the answer to that question is not the cross. See, if He went to the cross and died and that was it, there's incomplete redemption. We're still hopeless. Jesus was not going to the cross. He was going through the cross. That's where He had His eyes fixed. There in Hebrews 12, chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, especially chapter 2, it says, consider Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He had His eyes on what would transpire after the cross, the resurrection. That was where there would be completion of our redemption, completion of what His assignment was from the Lord. So we need to keep in mind as we traverse the days of life and what we believe is God's will for our lives, we need to keep our eyes fixed on what we are going to, not only what we're going through. You get your eyes on what you're going through, you'll be overcome with frustration, with agony, with sorrow, with grief, with whatever it would be that could very easily distract you from fulfilling what you're supposed to go to. Ultimately, yes, it is heaven for all of us, but there are specific assignments that each one of us has from the Lord. There are people that only you can reach. There are places only you can go. There are specific gifts and things He's given each one of us that we can't look in the mirror and try and say, well, so-and-so can do this. You look in the mirror, you say, that is my assignment from the Lord. The Lord looks at me and He sees His precious child. He sees somebody who He needs in His kingdom, who He wants in His family, and who He has a specific purpose for on this earth. And that is applicable for every single one of us. And remember, Romans 8, I love this verse. Paraphrasing it, but the point is the same. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that caused resurrection to happen, is the same Spirit that lives in each one of us. That same Spirit, no matter what death you face in life, not just physical, maybe you face a terrible circumstance or trial or hardship in life, and you just feel the agony of that, when it is something that is in Christ, when you are walking with the Lord, when you face those times of persecution and trial and hardship, know for sure that it is the same Spirit that brought Christ back from the dead, that brought resurrection to his life, that will bring resurrection to your life in any and every situation that you face. But it is only the Spirit of God that can bring the resurrection. That's why we have to be sure that we are in the will of God. Well, how do you find that out? Well, we'll get there in a little bit. But we have to know that same Spirit. That same Spirit. The same Spirit. Do you realize that Spirit that is in you? That same Spirit that was in Christ. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead. That same Spirit that caused great wonders and miracles and power to come through the ministry in the life of Jesus on this earth. When he said, the same works that I do, you will do, and greater works than this. He was speaking to you. That same Spirit he put in you. And he said, I must go away so that the Comforter can come. The Holy Spirit can come. The same Spirit. When you look in the mirror, we all see a different face. But we all partake of that same Spirit who can bring the resurrection life, who can bring forth the understanding of what our course is in life, who can bring forth the power that we need, who can bring forth the awareness of the grace that we have to come through anything to get to the destination the Lord has called us to. The same Spirit. The same Spirit. And I went to bed last night. I tried to go to sleep. And immediately the Lord just brought this to my mind and just kept saying, same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit, same Spirit. Do we even realize, I mean, I'm speaking to myself here as well, the Spirit that was in Christ, that came upon him when he was baptized, that stirred in him the very heart of God to have compassion for all people, that motivated him and brought forth the gifts and powers that he demonstrated. It's not meant to be, oh, wow, look at Jesus, that'll never be me. It was the Spirit in him. It's the same Spirit in you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter anything. All he sees when he looks at you is the same Spirit is in you that I had in Jesus. The same Spirit. And there are great things he is waiting and wanting to do in and through every single one of us. Amen. We cannot look at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, I messed up here, I messed up there, I screwed this up. What was I thinking? How could he ever? He looked beyond all that when he sent his son to die on the cross, and the blood now covers it and washes it away, and he gave you his Spirit. The same Spirit is in you. Say this after me. The same Spirit, is in me. The same Spirit is in me. The degree to which you believe that is the degree to which you will be used by God, and that will come forth in mighty demonstration in your life. Not for your glory, but for His. He knows the things that He's called us to cannot be done by us. He knows that we are completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to bring these things out. And I'm well aware it is a growing process. You know, when it says in Scripture he wants us to be perfect, I really don't like that translation, because what it actually means is mature, which implies growth, which gives me hope. I still have plenty more to grow. And I venture to say you probably all do as well, unless you're way beyond where I would be and you've attained that perfect place. But it's likely we all have it. We all see areas in ourselves and maybe each other that we have to grow in. And what an opportunity we have to walk day by day, moment by moment. The same Spirit that was in Christ is in me. He will lead me today. He will guide me today. He will convict me of right and wrong. He will be my help. He will remind me of who I am in Christ. He will remind me of the forgiveness that is available when I screw up and I repent. There is instantaneous restoration of my connection with the Lord. He wants us so much. He wants the body of Christ on this earth to become alive, to become inflamed with the reality that the same Spirit that He had on His Son, Jesus, and the amazing things we see that He did was the same Spirit in His disciples, and the amazing things the early church did is the same Spirit in the church today, and the amazing things His church and body of Christ on earth can do now. We need to not be waiting. We need to be active. We need to be moving. But we need to have a greater revelation of that, a greater awareness and belief, a belief that the same Spirit in us is the same Spirit that was in Christ, is the same Spirit, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your might, your strength, your ability, your money, your knowledge, your anything that you will fulfill and accomplish the will of God for your life. It is by His Spirit. You know, we have minds. We should use them. We have hearts. We have emotion. We have passions. We should use all of those things, but they need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit. Wow, my time. That's all right. I will never forget. You know, good intentions can kill you. In high school, I was very good at soccer. And my junior year, when you're looking at scouts, I had Division I scouts, and I had my dream set. Professional soccer. I had the scouts for college. Then I blew out my knee, tore my ACL ligament. But I hurried back. I worked hard. They said 18 months, I was back in 4 playing soccer. I worked my butt off. But I wasn't quite back to the caliber I was, lost all the scouts. But I still did not let the dream die. Went to college at Messiah, had a phenomenal soccer program. I got the training program from the coach and said, I'm going to be a walk-on tryout. I'm going to make your team. So that summer, I worked my butt off, had my mile time down to 5 minutes, and was doing everything the team was doing. Well, the day of tryouts come, that August. I am severely sick. I can't even complete the tryout. My dream is shattered. My dream shattered. What do I have left? I realized I had put so much my expectation in my dream in that. And it got to the point where, was I good at soccer? Yes. Is it wrong to be good at soccer? No. Is it wrong to have skills in various sports and abilities? No. But I got to a place where I was so overcome with grief and despair and literally hopelessness. I remember standing on a bridge there on Messiah College campus and looking down and saying, man, if I just jump, it'd be all over. Who'd miss me? And in that moment, I heard the Lord say to me, well, if you're going to give your life away, why don't you at least try giving it to me first? I had professed to be a Christian my whole life. I grew up in the church. I did all the good things. I went to Bible school. I did, you know. I had not fully committed my life to the Lord. So I said, yes. I said, Lord, I'm all in. I've tried my own course, and it led me to the place of this bridge. From that moment forward, when I would visit different churches with friends in college, it seemed like everywhere I went, they were always talking about missions. When I'd ask my friends, they'd say, what are you talking about? And then it finally, after like 4th time, dawned on me, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's the Lord trying to speak to me. You know, the Lord will continue. You know, you remember Samuel? Samuel? Samuel runs over. Yes, yes. No, it's not me. And three times, finally, he realized, well, he didn't. His Eli remembered, it must be the Lord. Sometimes we aren't quick to get things. You know that? The Lord's very patient with us. And long story short, I begin to pray about missions then. The Lord said, I want you to go to a foreign country on a mission trip with nobody you know. I said, okay, how? Where? Who? I didn't own a passport. I was barely out of Pennsylvania. And so I went online. Well, how do I find this out? I found a mission trip, it looked good. And how do you write a support letter? one online, find samples. Oh, that sounds good. Write a support letter. One of the first letters I get back from a family member who said, how dare you ask for money to go on a mission trip? We need help here at home. Okay, put it aside. You can't let things deter you from the will of God. Long story short, went on the first mission trip. On that trip, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm calling you to long-term missions, but not to any of these places. You know, oftentimes the way the Lord operates, he will not reveal to us the next step till we take the step of faith with the one that we're on. And once we do, and you step out in faith, then he'll tell you the next step, and then the next one. And that's what happened. In my very first conversation with Katie, before she was my wife in college, we were swapping mission trip stories. She already knew she was called. She was way far ahead of me. She was paying attention to the Lord years before I was. She knew she was called to missions, long-term missions. And finally, then, I went to Russia that next summer on a mission trip, and the Lord said, this is the place I'm calling you. Okay, now I know more. Still didn't know when. He confirmed that she was to be my wife. We got married. We're working. A door opened with Dale Armstrong and Armada through a relationship there with the pastor in Siberia. And so we moved. And the rest is history. I mean, we move on to the mission field. And the Lord continues to lead us step by step by step. You know, now I'm back here in the States when he called us back here. And I work with Armada as needed. I work with my church, I volunteer. I run a preschool for my church. I work as an administrative assistant for the American Pastors Network, and I substitute teach in Hallugal High School. I do a variety of things, and I'm thankful it helps make ends meet financially, but it also is furthering to develop what's in me. You never underestimate when the Lord opens a door for you, and you don't see the purpose in it. Just go by faith. God has purpose that you might not see yet, but you just never know. And so he will lead us one step at a time. So that pattern for our lives, as Jesus responded to his disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, lay down your will, your course, your dreams, which might not be morally wrong or bad in any way, but they could very well be a distraction to deter you from the will of God. Lay down those things. Take up your cross, God's will for your life. The cross was for Jesus. It's not for you. He's saying, take up the will of God for your life. Well, how do you find out what that is? The Word of God, read it, meditating on it, prayer. You know that God's will for your life is twofold. You know, there are things that are universal that apply to all of us. The Word of God, everything in it is for everyone. There's no exceptions. You can't cut and paste. You know, it's not how it's designed. There are things for every single one of us. But then there's unique things that are specific to you that are not for me. God called me to Russia. He didn't call you. Or did he? Anybody? Okay. You just never know where he might call you and when. And that's for you to find out what those unique things. He says there in 1 Corinthians, he's given us gifts differing to the grace he's given you. You know, the best thing that you can do for me and that you can do for each other is fulfill the will of God for your life, because it will benefit the church, which will promote the gospel, which will help expand the kingdom of heaven. The best thing I can do for you is the will of God for my life, because it will be a benefit to the church, the body of Christ, which we are all part of. I want nothing more for you than the will of God for your life. And I know your pastor doesn't. And I believe you do as well. But we have to be willing to lay down our dreams, take up his, and then follow Jesus, who continually walked in the footsteps of the awareness. He wasn't heading to a place of suffering or torment. He was heading through that place to the place of blessing and resurrection life. And that resurrection life he made available to every one of us by that same Spirit. Never underestimate the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. So as you begin this new year, begin thinking about dreams, plans, goals. Do those things, but then submit them to the Lord. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Is this how you want me to live? And then he will confirm it. He will bear witness to it. You know, he says there on down in Matthew 16, what shall a man gain? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Those of you who are parents, how are we training our children? Are we training them to seek to gain the whole world? Or are we training them to seek the prosperity of their soul, first and foremost? To seek the will of God for their life that will bring such joy and fulfillment, which is what we want for our children. But if they're so consumed with pursuing the pleasures of this life, which again may not be morally wrong in some cases, but they can very easily be a distraction to the will of God. Grandparents, what influence do you have on your grandchildren? I can tell you from experience, my children are greatly influenced by their pawpaw and their mama and their grandma and their pappy, their grandparents. So just to encourage you this morning, God has a plan and purpose for your life. It's up to you to find out what that is. He wants nothing more than to reveal it to you and to show it to you. But we have to first, if any man will come after me, we have to first be willing to follow after that will. And then it's not like it's a once and done thing. I lay down my will, take up his. It's a constant thing. Well, I want to go and do this with my money, but I want you to spend it here, says the Lord. You know, whatever it would be, it's a daily, constant thing. Being sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, how he's prompting and leading and guiding you in your life. One step at a time. Well, I appreciate the opportunity I had to minister to you and be here this morning, and I pray there was something in what I said that you benefited from for your life, for what God's called you to in this local church, in maybe the course for your life. Maybe it's time to just take some time to re-examine where you are and what your plans and goals and dreams and desires are. And just seek the Lord. And I'll promise you this, though it may not always be easy, it will always be worth it. Always. No, you will have no regrets with the will of God. None. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful to you for having called us out of the kingdom of darkness and into your kingdom of magnificent light. We are so thankful that while we were yet in our sin, still in rejection and rebellion to you, even then, you still sent your Son to die for us, to be the beacon of hope for our lives, that light to shine brightly. We thank you for completing the work of redemption, that we are now set free from the bondage of sin and its power over us, that we are now released into that which you have called us to, that you put in us the very same Spirit that was in Christ, that raised him from the dead, will bring to manifestation the resurrection power that we need in our lives every moment of every day, in every situation, in every hardship we face, that you will bring us through. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray this morning that each one of us would purpose to take time to re-examine our lives and say, God, examine me, prove me, as David cried out. Judge me, Lord, that I may know for sure that I am walking in your will for my life. May they continually have that time to reevaluate, to bring fruit. God, your desire for us is to be fruitful for the glory of God. May we be fruitful for you in our lives. And we thank you so much for the ministry of your Holy Spirit day by day and your faithfulness to us as a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.